The answer is we can do everything. First, we must see that our families understand the seriousness, but do not get hysterical and develop fear complexes. An extreme example of this was seen in a hotel lobby a few days ago. A fine-looking man came into the hotel literally holding a small child by the hand. He wouldn't let the child move from his side. He explained that he had to keep a grasp on the little fellow because at the tender age of 4, the child had 3 times attempted to commit suicide. When caught in these attempts, the poor little fellow had said, "I don't want to be killed by a bomb." It is no secret that even today, were an aggressor to strike this country, we could blast that aggressor's cities off of the face of the map in a reasonable length of time. We have the planes, we have the bombs, we have the ability to produce, and can and will win any war. Other countries have no fear of our manpower, for they excel manpower. What they do fear is our know-how and know-why. Should aggressors attempt to bomb us, they could rapidly destroy certain strategic areas, but only a part of those. According to the teachings now being distributed by the Civil Defense Coordinators, the atomic bomb is not deadly beyond a short radius, 2 miles at the outside. Beyond that, we can all be saved if we know what to do for ourselves and if we have been properly instructed and organized. It is within our own power to protect ourselves against attack if we have but the same calm preparation. This preparation will bring peace to our minds and ultimately may bring peace to the world and may be the one thing that can avoid a terrific war. And let me say here that the one thing that we should do is use our own gray matter in planning our own defense. This is one time the government is not handing out to you an outline and telling you to follow it. It is your responsibility to think what you need to do. There are a few suggestions. Beyond that, use the old American ingenuity. How can we stop this preparation then? There are several things you should do immediately before any further emergency exists. Each woman in this audience should try to find time to take a course in first aid and home nursing. You may have a great deal of it to do. Each man and woman who is physically fit should contribute blood as needed and when called for. Each family should cooperate with the proper agency by listing the homes and the space available in the homes for refugees should the need occur. You people here are very near strategic targets. And you, above all people, must be prepared to care for any eventuality. You probably, most of you who live in the farms, will not be hit by the bomb itself except through an accidental dropping or except when a fighter plane gets too hot on one of the enemy numbers and they drop bombs in order to lighten their load and make a getaway. But with those exceptions, you aren't likely to be hit by the bombs. What you have to do is take care of your city neighbors who might be. Another thing each one of you should do is to call your local civil defense coordinator. Tell him what your special abilities are and offer to assist in his program in any way he needs you. When you make these offers, remember one thing, friends. There is no glamour in foxholes. See to it that you do not expect or demand glamour and glory for whatever service you render. Only your best efforts will avail. Your satisfaction derived from doing your part as a citizen of your country should be all the compensation any American wants. Yesterday there was a terrific train wreck over in New Jersey, and chaos prevailed for a while after, and one of the policemen made this remark, "If it's all this upset and confusion when one train turns over, what would it be in the city of New York if an atomic bomb were to drop there, or any other kind of bomb were to drop there today?" Something to think about. Yesterday, Miss Burns, in a very excellent talk to the women's group, said that everything that happens beyond our home affects the home. Looking a little beyond our own doorsteps, we have obligations at national levels. There are many issues before us today that the family must face and must solve. Perhaps foremost in the problems that are forcing themselves into our everyday life is that of licking inflation. Yesterday afternoon, you had a superb speaker here discuss inflation. And as an economist, he gave you the fundamentals, the causes, and the ways to avoid it. I do not dare to make statements following such an excellent speech, but I do want to bring out a few facts which we as family people must remember to make the family an effective part of the world today. Every man in the crossroads store will tell you some given means for getting rid of inflation. Usually, persons who have given it very little thought will name one factor. That one factor may be one way to do the job, but there are many phases and many angles to attack before we defeat this enemy. Increased production is a factor, but alone will not solve the issue. While a tremendous increase in all fields, from agriculture to coal and steel, is necessary for the war effort, this very increase is inflationary. Why? Because the wages earned by additional workers and for the increased hours per manpower add millions of dollars to civilian purchasing power, while most of the goods produced must of necessity go into war efforts and not into consumer goods. Another partial answer is increased taxation and curtailed credit. Yet there is a point beyond which reliable economists tell us our incentive for making money is lost through excessive taxation. There is also an American tendency to resent being told what we can do and how much we can make. In spite of this, our goal now is to win the peace through preparedness or, if need be, through war. We cannot do either by sapping the value of our dollar or wrecking our economy. For when we decrease the dollar value, we automatically hit our own defense program just as hard a blow as we hit our own family budget. Another suggestion often heard is that of cutting the government expenditure to the core. At the same time, there are others, include everything from socialized farming and socialized medicine to the production of guns in one package and call it defense. Then you have those that believe in price controls plus the inevitable rationing that follows and say that is the total answer. You know and I know that rationing and price control must be 90% voluntary, for not over 10% enforcement is possible regardless of the size army of enforcement you have and regardless of whether the Justice Department or the Price Controls Department regulates it. Even the economic stabilizers frankly say this is not the complete answer. Certain other reputable economists maintain that price controls only hide inflation, but never cure it. Whichever school we follow, we must accept controls of extreme kinds as a temporary means to the end of peace, not as the established and acceptable pattern of American life. We must see to it that the free enterprise system remains the plan of our country and is not smothered out by any socialistic programs trading under any patriotic guise. If we fail to do this, the price of victory will be defeat. At the same time that we watch carefully and zealously, if you please, we must faithfully observe the regulations that are deemed necessary. That means that until such time as controls may be relaxed, it is the unquestionable duty of every red-blooded American to support them, to refuse to buy on any black market, to spurn and condemn any individual who patronizes black markets. When social ostracism follows the use of the black market, there'll be no dangerous volume of goods handled on that very inflationary road. Only the family can regulate this. Certainly the family that is willing to give a son or a daughter to the armed forces will want to support every effort to enforce an emergency regulation until such times as a better means can be adopted. Let us hope that time is not too far in the future. These are just a few of the means that we have to use to fight inflation. The inflation is just one of many problems confronting the family units today. But our obligations do not end if and when we meet the requirements within our own country. Today we are families of the world. Today we are fighting under the United Nations flag. As citizens of the United Nations, we must inform ourselves as to the purposes for which it was created. We must know that these nations bound themselves together to maintain peace, to promote welfare of human beings, and to provide the means by which nations can work together to attain peace. While there is no doubt but that every real American will want to support these aims, the success of the United Nations is not yet guaranteed. The principal reason for doubt lies in the fact that the average family today considers the UN and its objectives as faraway ideas beyond their ken and reason. Many a man of the farm blandly says, "We don't have any business messing with them anyhow." He does not stop to make a study before he makes that statement. He does not take into consideration the fact that the United Nations is an association of the peoples of the world according to its charter. The peoples, their welfare, their rights are constantly referred to in the charter. Not only are the peoples represented by the governments, but by numerous organizations. For example, the IFAP has consultative status. The ACWW is represented at Lake Success. Many other federations are there all of the time. And I cannot pass without congratulating you people in this state on the wonderful progress you've made and the interest you've taken in international affairs. I had the pleasure of listening to the reports of some of you who went to the Associated Country Women of the World Council meeting in Copenhagen. And I know that the state is far better off for having made these international contacts. And I know that some of the men from the state took a tour of foreign countries and have brought back a better understanding and have left in the foreign countries a better understanding of America. The United Nations can, and to succeed must, be a people's movement. The greatest danger that lies ahead for the United Nations and for the peace and welfare of humanity is not so much disagreements of governments as it is apathy and indifference of ordinary people. The action of the government is based ultimately on popular support. If the average family in the world today and tomorrow knows the United Nations and really wants it to succeed badly enough to build a solid body of public opinion behind it, nothing can prevail against it. We as farmers are most interested perhaps in production of food, on the possible danger of underproduction in time of war and overproduction in time of peace. We can study these problems in relation to the Food and Agriculture Organization. From here, there are natural steps to related specialized agencies such as World Health Organization, Economic and Social Councils, and its Population Commission. Women may be peculiarly interested in learning more about the Commission on the Status of Women or the Social and Child Welfare work of UNESCO. These are but a few of the fields in which every family must take an interest. The work of today's family is first and above all else, preservation of the American home. This means putting the rearing of children at the highest pinnacle of duty and privilege. To do this, the family must expand its thinking and information so as to seek the community and state social economic improvements. To maintain even the standards we have, the family must put defense measures ahead of personal wishes and selfish interests. In addition to defending these United States, the family must expand and take its rightful share of responsibility for the world, not by furnishing soldiers and guns alone, but also by thinking, by study, by support of the United Nations or any other attempts that may be made to coordinate the working and living of peoples for the achievement of peace. This peace may have to be bought at the expense of war and long-time sacrifices, but it must be the ultimate goal of every family. And just as public opinion is the composite thinking of the individuals and families, so is the family the collective thinking and action of the members of the household. You have a tremendous responsibility for your family. You can meet this responsibility in one way only. That is by giving your all and doing it each day. You may have a long time plan, but the action must be taken today, and each day is today. And so with the poet we say, with every rising of the sun, think of your life as just begun. The past has canceled and buried deep all yesterdays. Let them sleep. concern yourself with but today. Grasp it and teach it to obey your will and your plan. Since time began, today has been the friend of man. You and today, a soul sublime and the great heritage of time, with God himself to bind the twain, go forth, have heart, attain, attain.
Friends, you have just heard the Wednesday afternoon general session program of the 50th Annual Illinois Farm and Home Week.